I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
There was some chatter over the weekend about the brawls in the NFL preseason, or the fights, let's call them. I don't know if they were brawls or not. Guys got suspended, like Jalen Ramsey. Now, that was a mess within his own team, the Jaguars. And he got suspended for a full week for a preseason game. I'm not sure if that's actually a punishment. But they've suspended their cornerback, Jalen Ramsey, and their defensive end, Dante Fowler, for a week because of the way the two of them were mixing it up after practice. So Fowler was kind of in the middle of a angry conversation. I don't want to call it a brawl. It was a benches clearing conversation. Dante Fowler was right in the middle of this post-practice, and guys are shoving each other, and they're yapping back and forth. And then Ramsey gets ticked off at the media who's filming this post-practice altercation when guys are yapping at each other. Jalen gets really upset at the media, so he starts swearing at the media and goes off on the media. So again, Dante Fowler gets into a skirmish with another teammate after practice ends, and then these guys have to be separated a couple of different times by teammates. And then Ramsey is ticked off that the media's filming it. And so he starts yelling at the local media in Jacksonville to stop recording that bleep, man. And then he keeps yelling at the media using profane language as he leaves the practice field with his teammates. So both Fowler and Ramsey get suspended for a week. Now, Ramsey claims he was sticking up for his teammates, including Dante Fowler. And so he's not really backing down. He's more doubling down. But he's out for a week, including their next preseason game. Dante Fowler, meanwhile, he's only recently come off the PUP list. And this is a guy who's had a ton of injuries since he was selected third overall in 2015. Kind of playing with fire by mixing it up with his own guys. Either way, they've both been suspended for a week for violating team rules. That's interesting. When you consider what Hugh Jackson did to punish one of his players, one of the Cleveland Browns, they stand in stark contrast to each other, these two disciplinary actions taken by the coaches. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. There's a lot of excitement around Tiger Woods in the final round of the PGA Championship. Brooks Koepka winning his third major in the last six for him, the last seven majors overall. And I think even more impressive when you consider he was 4 months on the shelf with a wrist injury and wondered if he'd be able to get back to the same level that helped him win the 2017 U.S. Open. Yep, I think he's good. He comes back and he goes mano a mano with Dustin Johnson at Shinnecock Hills in this year's U.S. Open and defends his title there and now adds the Wanamaker Trophy from the PGA Championship and along the way sets the 72-hole scoring record for that tournament. So the guy's good. He's really good, and he's got three majors to show for his efforts. And I would say he is the latest proof, the latest golfer to prove that Tiger Woods' success 10, 15 years ago has now become his worst enemy. It's now become his greatest competition. Because all of that success that Tiger had in the late 90s, the early 2000s, has spawned a generation of golfers who wanted to be just like him. And because they're younger, they're fitter, they're stronger at this point in their careers, they're committed to fitness and mental toughness. They got all of that from watching Tiger Woods dominate, and now they're better than he is. Why? Well, because they're 26, 27, sometimes younger than that. Jordan Spieth is what, 23? Is he even 23 yet? Tiger's 42. And he can still compete, yes, because he's still one of the greatest golfers ever to walk the face of the earth. oh, Jordan Spieth is a ripe old 25 now. So these guys are all golfers who got into the sport because Tiger made it cool and because Tiger put it on the map and made it mainstream. But now Tiger has to compete with them. And as you can see, Brooks Koepka, who's got the fitness, who's got the length off the tee, like Tiger used to have, and actually gets it in the fairway, and who has that same mental toughness that Tiger used to have. Those are all things now that Woods has to compete with in a younger generation of golfers. So it's, what, a credit to him, because imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, but it also makes his job of winning tournaments that much tougher. So I'd love to take your thoughts. You're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and you're also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you didn't see my picture of the salsa, well, it's up now on Facebook as well, and it's a close-up. My salsa got a close-up. It's a good thing I didn't drop my phone into the bowl of salsa. That's how close I got in taking this picture. But it's on both Twitter and Facebook, as well as your Tiger Woods reaction. I love the calls. You've been calling me since the show started. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Here's one other thing I'd love for you to answer. How do you like the putting lines, the blue and the white putting lines that CBS superimposed on the green? So it's a little bit like the first down line in football. You know, that first down line, that yellow line, is not actually out there on the field. It's a graphic that's superimposed on your television. Same thing. I actually have friends of mine who think that the yellow line is painted on the field and they don't know how it moves. I mean, it's a relatively recent development, last 10 years, right? A new piece of technology. So here are these blue and white putting lines on the greens on Sunday, and I gotta be honest, I don't like them. They feel gimmicky to me. I wouldn't mind CBS or whichever broadcast it happens to be, who's ever broadcast it happens to be, using the blue and the white and explaining what they meant. So explaining the break and the line that the golfer himself has taken or has lined up. But move the lines when the guy goes to putt, because they can't see the ball. It was almost like the tail on the hockey puck in reverse. So the tail is there before the ball actually moves. Yeah, I didn't mind if you want to show me the line, because it's difficult to see on TV. If you want to show me the line before the guy addresses his putt, but once he stands and addresses his putt, can you take the lines off of there? It's a bit cartoonish to have blue and white lines on the putting surface, and I can't even see where the ball is going. Am I the only one? It was hard to see if the ball was tracking toward the hole or not. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So back to the way I started the hour. You have Jalen Ramsey and Dante Fowler suspended by the Jacksonville Jaguars for the next week. So no practices, no meetings, and no preseason game. Which, let's be honest, is not necessarily a bad thing for veterans. Now, maybe for Dante Fowler it is. He probably wants to get back on the field. For Jalen Ramsey, I think he's still young enough in his career that he's really into it. But for a lot of veterans in the NFL, they would prefer not to play in the preseason. Or if they did play in the preseason, it would be really quick. Which is why Hugh Jackson of the Cleveland Browns punished his rookie wide receiver by making him play almost the entire game against the New York Giants. Maybe you thought Antonio Callaway just needed the work. Oh, no. Jackson said, I wasn't letting him come out. I was trying to make him play the whole game if we could. And the reason is because he was ticked at Callaway for his off-the-field discretions. Now, not only did Callaway get cited for marijuana possession and a suspended license last week, but then he didn't tell his team, which is a no-no. If the team has to find out from some external source, the media, a police report, a TV report, something like that, that's a negative Ghost Rider. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh, my employer, my boss would be ticked too. If something like that happened, I get arrested, I get a tick. Well, a ticket is different, but it's for illegal possession and a suspended license. And somehow my boss finds out, like say a reporter calls to get a comment. Oh dear. So Jackson, Hugh Jackson, actually didn't know about it, about the trouble Antonio Callaway had gotten into until the news became public. So he found out from, I don't know if it was Twitter. You know, Hugh Jackson loves Twitter. Twitter can blow up. That was Hugh Jackson last year. There were also bullets and a gun. Part of a gun. I don't know where the other part was. Bullets and part of a gun in the car. And so Hugh Jackson had to find all of this out the way everybody else did, the way fans did. And so because Jackson was ticked at him and because Jackson wanted to make sure he felt it, he made him play the entire game against the Giants. And that's actually a punishment, right? Because the veterans don't play more than two series of that. They don't want to be out there. They get to do a few minutes of work and then they're done. So it's a little bit embarrassing for this rookie Antonio Callaway to have to be out there the entire game. And then actually he suffered a bit of a rib injury to add injury to insult.
The Cleveland Browns.
Never a shortage of drama with the Cleveland Browns. I cannot wait until we're talking about the Browns winning games and challenging for a playoff spot. Who knows when that will be? It will happen eventually because everything is cyclical in sports. It'll happen eventually. I don't know if I'll still be in the business. I hope I am. But whenever it happens, it'll be great to be talking about the product on the field instead of the drama off the field or the quarterback carousel or the number of coaches in front office names that are cycled through. I'm with you, Cleveland. I want your team to be a winner. A winner? That's a combination of a winner and a contender. It's a new word. Hashtag winner. A-Law Radio is where you can find our Man Crush Monday poll. Brian says, I dislike the lines on the putting green. Show them and then make them go away. Flick the switch on and then flick the switch off, please. Let's see. Andrew says on Twitter, it's just a one-year thing, like the way the puck was highlighted in the NHL years ago. Yeah, I hope it's a one-year thing. I'm kind of surprised because CBS is not generally a gimmick network, especially when it comes to these majors, because Jim Nantz is such a traditionalist and because their coverage is very traditional. So I was a little bit taken aback by the blue and the white lines that never disappeared. Mike on Twitter, it was awesome, referring to today's PGA Championship final round. I guess he means Tiger, outplayed everybody on Sunday. Almost everybody. The much older man that these guys took up the game for, and to get to play him when he's back to being a force was all I needed to see. Next year he gets a win in one of the four, I hope. Yeah, that is a hope for a lot of Tiger fans. Can I tell you something? Going back to 2009, I never did make the statement that Tiger Woods wouldn't return to tournament golf. I didn't make the statement that he would never win again. But I did say he would never catch Jack and that at the most he would only win one more major. And now 10 years later, he hasn't won another one. And I'm not saying that I'm rooting against him so I can be right. I very rarely make statements like that. But I was confident because I could see what else was happening in golf. As I've talked about, this young generation of golfers who are now faster, stronger, younger, fitter. They are Tigers, only they're better because mostly because of their youth. It's hard to win a golf tournament in your 40s because there are so many other guys who can hit it farther than you and who are in the prime of their careers. Tiger is not in the prime of his career. He's had four back surgeries, multiple knee surgeries, and he's had stops and starts. That's just reality. And so back in 2009... because of the layoff that he was going through at the time, I said he will win one more major at most and he will never catch Jack. He did have a season, 2013, where he came back and he won five tournaments and he was the player of the year that year. And this was a pretty impressive run for him with 14 events and 5 finishes in the top 10. But the fields are so deep now. They're so deep and they're so strong. If you just take American golf right now, it's extremely competitive. All right, you can find me on Twitter, 855-212. That's not Twitter. Twitter is A-Law Radio. And then on the phones, as if you couldn't figure it out. I wasn't giving you my personal phone number so you could text me. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Hello, friends.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Now here's the 2-2. Swung on there, goes to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. A bullet. A laser. A Stantonian home run. Giancarlo. And Nosipo Stoparlo. He just hit his 30th home run. His 76th RBI. And the Yankees have a 1-0 lead.
Even if he doesn't have a great at-bat, he kind of never gives it a bat away. You know, he's just been winning so many pitches over the, you know, last month or two that he really is making the pitcher work. And when he's getting his mistakes, he's doing damage.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was the 1-2 punch of Giancarlo Stanton and Didi Gregorius, also CeCe Sabathia winning for the first time since July 4th, which is a good sign for the Yankees. Even as they are way back in the American League East, of course, they're still trying to stay ahead of the competition. And some stiff competition for the American League wild card, the first wild card. But man alive, while nothing has changed at the top of the AL with the Yankees, again, still, 9.5 games back of the Sox, and the Sox being 50 games above 500. Boston is running away with the American League. But the Seattle Mariners just swept the Houston Astros over the weekend. Oakland continues to crush opponents. And so the AL West has now become uber interesting, even if the AL Central and the AL East are turning into routes. Which, you know, there's still some time. You never know what might happen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Giancarlo Stanton home run, his 5th in 6 games. John Sterling on the Yankees radio network. And then Aaron Boone talking about how Stanton is locked in right now. And he does lead the team in both home runs and RBI. So 30 home runs, half of what he had a year ago. And he has the 76 RBI. And with Aaron Judge out, of course, they didn't know Aaron Judge would be injured, but with Aaron Judge out, this is huge for the Yankees. They need that production and that veteran presence in the lineup. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, as well as on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Taking all of your thoughts on social media about the blue and white superimposed lines on the putting green. CBS, shame on you. But also about how you felt watching Sunday at the PGA Championship. I saw a lot of people, some friends of mine, colleagues of mine, say they haven't watched a golf tournament like that. A final round from start to finish in years. And then I kept thinking, well, I know I was out of the country, but I thought Tiger took the lead at the British Open by himself. I mean, I know it was brief, but he never did take the lead in this tournament. So how were people more excited about the PGA than they were about the Open? Was it the time difference from Carnoustie? Again, I was out of the country, so I couldn't watch golf Twitter at the time, but you got to think that the way that Tiger took over sole possession of the lead, albeit briefly, that would have been something that put a charge into fans as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Cedric is in Oklahoma. Welcome to After Hours.
Thank you. Thank you. First time caller, short time listener.
Awesome.
Of the year.
Good to have you. What do you think?
I think it was good for Tiger to show the way he showed today because I mean, actually, aren't you supposed to enjoy the sport individually as your own self grows in the sport? And once you do kind of like get towards the top of that hill, you want to leave that legacy for someone to follow in your footsteps. And most of these young guys right now, they're young tigers at that age that he was when he was exciting. So it's good to see. That's what I mean. If it weren't for the tiger, we wouldn't see these young tigers.
I agree. If it weren't for the dominance of Tiger Woods, 15 years ago, that 2000 season was special. If it wasn't for that dominance, you wouldn't have nearly as many athletes who are so interested in playing the game of golf. And a lot of these young guys who are about the same age as Brooks Koepka and Jordan Spieth will tell you that Tiger is their inspiration. They grew up wanting to be like Tiger Woods. And so he's a victim of his own success, because the competition wouldn't be nearly as stiff if there weren't so many good golfers that wanted to be just like him and beat him at his own game. Good point, Cedric. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Amy.
Sure. Thanks for listening in Oklahoma, one of my favorite places. That's always will hold a special place in my heart. Kurt says on Twitter that my pico de gallo looks yummy. And then he wants to know that he has like the stream of consciousness post on Facebook. Wait, was that Wang Chung? Everybody Wang Chung tonight. Of course, we love 80s music. Actually, I don't love 80s music as much as Isaac loves 80s music. He is a huge fan of 80s music. And so anytime he can work in some 80s into our musical rotation, he does it for sure. Greg says on Facebook that the final round was awesome all the way around. Tiger being back is great, but there is a new unflappable sheriff in town. He says Koepka is no Tiger. I'm not sure anybody made that comparison. Koepka is no Tiger until you can win in all different types of environments like Tiger. I mean, Koepka is obviously much earlier in his career. Interesting note about him as well is he's only won 4 tournaments and 3 of them are majors. Let me rephrase. He's only won 4 PGA events or 4, you know, in this realm of his professional career. He did kick around the European tour for quite a while. So he has other victories on other tours. But here in the U.S., where, you know, the PGA / U.S. Open, those things go together, PGA and the USGA, this is his 4th win, and 3 of them are majors. I guess if you could only have 4 wins your entire career, you sure as hell would want 3 majors and have 2 U.S. Opens and now a PGA championship. He's only the 5th player to capture both of these tournaments in the same year and the first one to do it since Tiger Woods.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap to Dak. Payne, right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake. Looking. Floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! And with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Brees from the shotgun. Has time. Guns it down the middle. And he's going to score!
Goff stands in. He whips it to the 2. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling. Falling down chest high. Heavily covered. Touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
I don't know how many of you stayed home to watch preseason football on Friday or Saturday nights, but there were 4 more games after we had that full slate on Thursday. The rest of the teams wrapped up their first week of the preseason, the Hall of Fame game, of course, being the aberration. And it was fun to see a couple more of the young guys, the rookies on the field, taking their first NFL snaps. But I was just as interested in that Broncos-Vikings game because of the 2 new quarterbacks whose careers are forever intertwined. Kirk Cousins, now with a fully guaranteed contract as the QB of the Minnesota Vikings, replacing one Case Keenum, who is the starter in Denver. And they had 2 very different preseason debuts. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about the first week of preseason, if you've got any. So Case Keenum and the Denver Broncos essentially go two series and do pretty much nothing. We'll hear from Case in a second. For Kirk Cousins, he was about as perfect as you can be in his two series. He goes 4-for-4 and throws a touchdown pass. And his rating is almost as high as it possibly can be. He was near perfect. And he was all smiles. Now, you know, it's against my religion. I'm allergic to preseason NFL scores the same way I am for spring training baseball scores. But I will say the Kirk Cousins-led offense looked a heck of a lot better than the Case Keenum Broncos offense.
When you only get a handful of snaps, if you don't start fast, you don't finish strong. You have to, you know, come out the gates ready to go. Otherwise, your opportunity's gone and you don't really have time to ease in.
So Kirk Cousins perfect in his quick debut as a member of the Minnesota Vikings. Then he got to sit back and watch, this is kind of funny, two former Broncos QBs against their old team. So Trevor Siemian, who last couple of years has had his own attempt to become the ingrained starter at the Denver Broncos and to have that team as his own to take over for Peyton Manning, he couldn't quite stick. But then you also had Kyle Sloter, who's another former Denver QB. So it went Kirk Cousins and then the two guys who were backing him up. But Cousins, of course, the crown jewel, if you will, of this free agent class of quarterbacks, the $84 million fully guaranteed for 3 years. And he's off to a good start there with the Vikings. Now, the Broncos, different story. It's been a lot of quarterback misplay that has led to their missing the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. And so here's Case Keenum, who was handpicked by John Elway when he couldn't get Kirk Cousins. And the offense, despite having had a strong training camp, looked flat and uncompelling on Saturday.
Can't have negative plays, can't have penalties. Those things set you back. And, we never got into a rhythm today. Never got that first down and got going. Definitely left me wanting more. I don't know if it's preseason or it's just frustrating not playing well. And then when you don't have a chance to kind of bounce back from it, you got to sit there and root your other, teammates on. That being said, I thought the young guys did really well coming back, scoring some points, putting some points on the board. Special teams made some big plays. So, we got some good film, got some stuff to learn.
Decidedly different tone in the voices of Kirk Cousins and then Case Keenum. He says it like it's a punishment. You have to sit back and watch the other guys play. He spits it out. But it's good. It's good that you can hear the angst in his voice over a preseason game that doesn't matter. But he only had a limited number of snaps and wanted to play well. And the offense did not. He misfired on a couple of throws. They were out of sync. There was one particular play I remember where the play was supposed to go. The ball was supposed to go to Emmanuel Sanders. Sanders wasn't looking. He didn't know the ball was coming to him. So he's downfield with his back to Keenum. And Keenum has to dump down and try something different that didn't work. So there were miscommunications as well as just poor execution. And so there's something, certainly, I guess if you set the bar low, there's something to shoot for in your next preseason game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, and this music makes me so happy. On Friday night, it was the Jets and the Falcons. Why do you care? Well, it was the return of Teddy Bridgewater because Josh McCown was only out there for one series. The return of Teddy Bridgewater, which was so much fun to watch. He went 7-for-8. Had 85 yards and a touchdown pass, and the debut of Sam Darnold. So the heir apparent, the quarterback of the future, because McCown is 39, let's be honest. So there is the Jets' young buck who has this reputation for dazzling in the difficult moments. He is fearless, and he is also great at improvising. But you still have your rookie moments where he does the dumb thing, misses the guy right in front of him, throws an interception. He just has this resiliency about him that sometimes takes years to learn and develop. But he's extremely confident in himself. And You know, it was a good debut. He was 13 of 18. He had about 100 yards and a touchdown pass. He got sacked once, so welcome to the NFL, rookie Sam Darnold. And then he got to evaluate himself afterwards.
I can always get better at calling the plays really clean in the huddle, being able to hear it and then just spit it out in the huddle because, you know, there were some times there where I got out of the huddle slow and there were 10 seconds on the play clock. So just trying my best, you know, to get out of the huddle as fast as I can and get to the line of scrimmage so that I have time to really see the defense and digest exactly what's going on.
It is a blessing and a curse of young QBs who make it into the NFL. The expectations are so high for them because we've known their names for so long, especially when they're drafted early on. They're drafted often for potential. Maybe it's far too soon for them to be out there navigating an NFL huddle on their own, and yet they've got to figure it out so quickly. But the blessing is that they have been taught that this is their future and this is what they need to prepare for years and years and years. And so they carry themselves very often like they've been a pro quarterback for a long time, and it's not just the first time. So you can hear Sam Darnold, as young as he is, he speaks the way that he's supposed to. He understands what is required of him. It's just a matter of can he live up to it? Because this is just the preseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. How about Josh Rosen getting the first snaps as a member of the Arizona Cardinals? Now, I wouldn't say the expectations are not high for him because they certainly are. For right now, though, the sentiment is that he's not ready. He and Josh Allen, they're not ready. They need some time. They could very well end up being the best QBs to come out of this 2018 rookie class. But they have time to develop. Sam Bradford is supposed to be the starter there. I'm hoping for Sam that he remains healthy for new head coach Steve Wilks and can jumpstart his career. And that would also give Josh Rosen time to develop and to understand what it takes to be the leader on the field.
I thought I did some good things, some bad things. But for the most part, I think it was a step in the right direction. I think the almost pick six goes into the bad category. I think we all did some really good and bad things as a team, and looking forward to checking out the film and seeing what we can get better at.
I mean, who says rookies don't get it or that they're clueless? I think the almost pick six goes in the bad category. Ah, is that where it goes, Josh Rosen? Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, I mean, he was 6 for 13. He was about average and had a handful of yards, whatever. The stats are not what matters. It's more about how quickly these guys can get acclimated to the speed and also how well they can process live defenses who are not friendly. This is not friendly fire anymore. There are no red jerseys. This is live defenses who want to teach these rookies what it means to be a professional football player. They're not going to take it easy on you. New rules notwithstanding. They want to knock you down a peg because defensive players are tired of hearing your name over and over and over again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As you know, football is right around the corner. And tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, NFL Hall of Famer Michael Strahan will sit down with the women of We Need to Talk to discuss the upcoming season. It's only on CBS Sports Network. I do not know which women will be there on the show. They do have a revolving door and a different group of women that will sit down week to week, depending on their other job responsibilities. But I do know that Andrea Kramer will frequently sit there and be part of We Need to Talk. And I just wanted to tell you thanks again for listening to the interview that I did with Andrea last week. It was great to catch up with her and hear her story. As a consummate storyteller, she got to tell her story about the Hall of Fame induction in Canton the previous weekend, and it was our featured YouTube video of the week, and lots of clicks, lots of compliments for Andrea, of course, but also for the conversation. So that was really cool. Thank you so much. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. That's how you can reach us. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you go to geico.com in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So Man Crush Monday poll, as expected, we did. I guess we could have just put two candidates in the poll, but I always try to do four, and I expected that it would be a two-man race between Brooks Koepka and Tiger Woods, and it certainly is, at least right now. But that's awesome. These two guys deserve to be talked about all day Monday and on through the rest of the golf season, because there is more. There's still a Ryder Cup that's coming up. There's obviously the FedEx playoffs and the end of the year championship and la la la, the tour championship. So there's still plenty of tournaments to go, even if they aren't major tournaments. And so I appreciate that these two guys gave us a thrill, and there's something to like about each of their games. And not to mention, they're coming from two complete opposite ends of the spectrum. Brooks Koepka has won four tournaments in his entire PGA life, and three of them are majors. And he's got this steely focus, but he's also got the physical tools that he needs. And he has now withstood challenges in both the U.S. Open and the PGA this year to become just the fifth guy ever to win them both in the same season, Tiger being one of the other guys. And Tiger is just trying to get back to that point at which he can say he is on top of the world and he's a major winner again. 855-212-4227. Rick is listening in Houston. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, you want to comment on the blue and the white lines?
Yes, please.
Well, I think if you go back to the old, you know, I'm old, so, you know, the old school was you try to make every putt sort of like Arnold Palmer. That the blue line is the one that if you hit it a little hard and you're going to try to make it. And the other one's like Nicklaus. He tried to dive the ball into the cup on either side. And he just said you take the break into consideration. And Palmer didn't do that, and Billy Casper didn't do that. They just tried to sink every putt they could.
So then when you're watching guys putt today, do you like the lines or would you prefer they weren't there?
Yeah, I enjoy seeing what the people that have the electronics that say, you know, if you hit a little hard, it may go in this way, or mm-hmm. you just got to try to just dial it in. You need to give it a little white line and let it go off a little bit to the right or left, depending on what they say the break will be. I enjoy that. I mean, okay. When the ball was close to the hole, they took the lines away, and I could understand. I've been playing golf for almost 60 years. So.
I wish I had started when I was a kid, for sure.
Well, thank you for taking my call, dear. I have another comment. I say I'm from Houston, and as soon as these people who are on the DL with Houston get off, we'll be right back in there.
Oh, yeah. What the Astros are doing right now, and a lot of it's due to their pitching. Rick, thank you so much. I have to let you go, but I appreciate the phone call. What the Astros are doing right now is impressive, considering that they are missing some of their biggest pieces, some of the guys in their lineup that were so instrumental in them winning the World Series. So they're still dynamic. They still have guys who can produce a big hit when they need it. But maybe a little uncomfortable with the Oakland A's and the Seattle Mariners who've creeping up on their territory in the AL West. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.